also come to dinner in the Queen's Court?
Coming to that.
Oh.
Yeah. How is Jampu? Did he hear that?
Jampu?
Yeah.
That's the name of the monkey, right?
Well, that's the nickname that you have given with the next story in connection with our balloon. Well, after this, the king never forgot his brother, Balun. And it so happened one day, when, by the way, before I begin the story, I must give this little preface to it. Whenever there would be a royal feast, you see, in the palace, the queen will never forget Balun to be invited. But Balul, being a person in rags, roaming about the streets, it was not possible for the queen to use her powers and make him sit at the dining table, you see, with all the royal guests, who were all the ministers and the kings from the neighboring kingdoms and all that. You see. But she would always remember to invite him and give the same food that is spread for the dining table, the royal feast. But he would have to sit, you see, in a corner of the room, on the squat on the floor, so to say. And people knew about it. And they didn't object, those who were invited. They knew. And that's how Balun would always be present at the feast, royal feast. He being the king who had left his kingdom, but he was there, squatting on the floor, like a dog being made to eat from a plate. And then he would relish it and go away. He didn't care for all that show and pomp. But after what the king had experienced, you see, this dream, it so happened that the next feast, when a banquet was spread, he was invited, and the king insisted upon his sitting at the table. So he told the queen to make preparations to see that he is given a good bath and that he is dressed properly and royal robes and all that, so that it's befitting a royal feast, you see. He properly dresses. So all the preparations were made, and Balul was made to sit, you see, opposite his brother, the king, along with the other ministers and the other dignitaries. Halfway through the feast, you see, it so happened that the king spotted him. And what he sees is that with every morsel that he picks up from the plate, he throws it into his sleeve. You know, these royal robes, you see, they have very big sleeves. You know, those days, broad sleeves, you see. So with every morsel that he takes, he says, "Hey, you, sleeve, eat, it's for you. It's for you, eat it. You're hungry for it." So the king was very embarrassed. Had he done it silently, it would have been all right. But he couldn't contain himself, you see. And he admonished Balun, saying, "Balun, behave, eat properly, put it in your mouth. Why do you throw it in your sleeve, you see? It's spoiling the robe. It's not good." So Balun answers, he says, "Well, the feast is not spread for me. I am not made to sit here, you see, for the feast. Because of this robe that you have put on me, I am being given a place here on the dining table, you see. So the feast is actually spread for this royal robe. So allow me to eat. And I will have my feast there in the corner as I used to have before, you see." So that was Balun. Could you call that man a madman? One more story about Balun. Who he was, people naturally, some of them took him to be mad. Now we come to the subjects, you see, how the subjects treated him of the kingdom. People revered him as one who was all love for God. And then they would come and sit around him and then chat with him and hear him speak in parables. And there were the others, you see, who would want to exploit him and his love for God, and his words that he would speak out, you see. Here in India, and elsewhere too, wherever you find these men of God, there are two sections in the public. One revere them and would want to derive spiritual benefit from them. There are others who would want to derive material benefit from them. And the majority of them are those who would want to derive material benefit out of them. It's like, now if there is a race, you see, in the town, well, they would go and sit around him, they would try to serve him with some food, or if he is in the habit of smoking, give him good packs of cigarettes, or massage his body, and in the course of that, you see, they'll say, please tell us the number of the horse that would stand first, or if there are other things, you see, gambling dens are there, give us the number, you see, and so forth. There are the businessmen too, who are very rich and wealthy, who regulate their businesses and profits and losses with the answers that are given by these men of God. Here in India we do find them. And elsewhere too. Likewise, when Bahlul walked the streets of his kingdom, there was one businessman who said, let's best to ask him, let's see, let's try him first. So he said, Bahlul, what do you think would profit me best this year? What should I do? So he addresses Bahlul as, oh Bahlul the Great, let me know what should I do for my business this year so that I profit. So Bahlul the Great replies to him and says, sir, fill your barns with rice. So he goes to his office, orders his people to collect all rice from all ports and fill his barns with rice. And he made a huge profit that year, you see. A huge profit. He was very happy. And you know what wealth means. With that profit and with the increase in wealth, he also inflated his ego, you see. It got inflated to a bursting point, you see. And the next year came, and when he wanted to again launch on another business or for the next year, you see, for his next year budget, he came across Bahlul, and he thought of last year's profits, you see. But he was so egoistic this time. He was now the wealthiest person in the town. So he addresses Bahlul. Oh, Bahlul the Mad, what do you think should I do now this year? Oh, he says, you fill in onions, you see. Onions would do you good. So he says, well, that's a turn now. Last year, he made me the wealthiest person in the town. This year, I will be the wealthiest person in the whole kingdom. So he corners all onions, you see, from all parts, and just fills his barns to the full. And it so happens that it turned out to be the worst season and the worst year, you see. And all that he had earned, plus his own, everything was lost. He became a pauper. And he got so infuriated with the words of Bahlul, you see. So he goes, makes it a point to go and approach him and tell him this, complain to him. This is what he has turned him into, a pauper. So he says to Bahlul, hey, what have you done to me? It's a complete loss. I have lost all wealth now that I possessed. He says, what can you expect with my advice? He says, well, you advised well the first season, you see. The next year you advised me just the opposite. Well, it was your query. You asked me as Bahlul the wise man, and I advised you as the wise man, you see, lived advice. The next year you asked me, addressed me as Bahlul the madman. So what can you expect from a madman? Words of wisdom? And that's the story of Bahlul the wise.